when we came out of our property, on the next corner, there were two guys standing that was a kind of emergency police. They were not in uniform, but everybody knew they belonged to the police. They were already watching me. They started a talk with me about the weather and a cop and things like that. And you want to go? And I told them we want to go over to celebrate confirmation of my daughter a little bit and so on. And they were talking and talking and talking. They had only the intention stopping me to get that plane. Okay, that they did. Finally I told them, gentlemen, I have to run, otherwise I will miss a train. Oh, you want to get this? Then you better hurry. But it was already too late. I couldn't make it anymore. And then I told them, okay, I have to use the next train. When is it going? Oh, at noon. Okay, then I use it. And we turned around and went back to our property. But we didn't go into the house. We passed the house and went through our orchard. We had an orchard about 4 morgen. Went through that whole thing, over the fence in the back, and through the cornfield, to the next village. There I had a good friend. And they were hiding us for the whole day. And
why didn't you take the next train at 12? You were afraid that they would...
Because they had the intention to stop me.
Oh.
And I knew that. Mm-hmm. Also, even the Russian officer, he could... I knew exactly, he didn't believe me. But he didn't have the authority to arrest me right away. He has first to report to his superior, and he may report to the next one, and down comes then the decision. And that takes a few days. And these 3 days or 4 days were to my advantage. I had to use these days, and I did. But that something was wrong, you could see that they were watching me.
Yeah.
But they didn't even have the authority to stop me.
Because
they can arrest me.
Right.
They can stop me and can
delay
me that I could not catch the train. And that I come out and tell them I use the next train. During that time they could make other steps, or take other steps to stop me again. Maybe that guy on the railroad station, he wouldn't sell me any tickets.
Yeah. So what did you do then? You were hidden in the...
I was hiding over there, and in the evening, during night it was already, the son of this lady and his friend, they got us three bicycles. One was the son using, one the friend, and I was using the other one. And my daughter had to ride with that son on the baggage carrier in the back. And there we were riding about, let's say, 10 kilometers to the railroad station where the Ford Fokker Suburban traffic started. And there we split up. My daughter went with these both gentlemen and I went alone, but I didn't go over. They got me a ticket.
So you didn't buy a ticket?
I entered the train from the wrong side, not from the station itself, from Bahnsteig. What is it?
From the quay.
Yeah. I mean, there's the I know what you mean, the, what do they call them, where you... Well, go ahead, I know.
America. Between the trains, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't use this one, I came from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I entered there. Mm-hmm. They entered first on the regular way, right? And then they opened the window and showed me, you come in here. Right? And we were riding in different compartments. In the German trains, you have compartments.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was riding in a different one, but the same car. Right? And we went closer to Berlin, where the electric train starts. This is a border town. Lichterfelde Süd. That was a border town. And there we had to go through control. I had only a briefcase. They didn't stop me. I was running through. And my daughter, with these both guys together, she was asked by that Russian soldier and German policeman, Eastern policeman, what you have in there. And she opened that thing, that's an accordion, but out of order, it doesn't work. No, I had these Stimmstecke I had separated. Where the music comes out, you know, these are metal tongs in a block, and I had taken these out. They were separated from them. And he told that gentleman, the policeman, you see it, it's out of order. You think the parts are here, and I have to get it repaired. He said, okay, he closed that thing and he could go. And then we were on the other Bahnsteig, where the electrical train starts, and I jumped in one car, and my daughter and these guys in another one. And there's always police, plainclothes men, running on the train along. And finally, when the time approached that the train should take off, these both guys, they jumped out, and the train started to move. These both guys moved, hopped out, and my daughter was in the train and I was in, but in another car. And I only looked through the window and I saw that these plainclothes policemen grabbed these guys.
Oh, they grabbed them.
They grabbed them and they told them, just help the lady and that that girl and gentleman over the border. But we were in the train going into the west. This next station was the western.
What happened to those people?
They were lucky. Later on, I met them again. They could come over later on. I met them and I helped them a little bit this morning. And also with some clothes. They told me they were taken and they were held there for about an hour. But finally they could convince them that it wasn't the way they were thinking, that they helped us.
That is a fascinating story, isn't it? So that got you out, and from then...
Yeah, but my wife expected me already
the
day before.
That is a fascinating
story. She already saw me somewhere in the eastern part in a camp.
In a camp.
Our
ship off to Russia.
Yeah.
So from there anyway, you made your...
next day I went to the gentleman in headquarters and told him, here I am.
There you are. From then you made your arrangements.
My story, and he told me, that's fine with me. And I gave you get you a railroad ticket that you can go to Landshut. Oh, first we have to fly you out. And I think it took them only 2 days, and he picked us up in the morning with the car, took us to the airport, temple, but not civilian site, in the back where the American planes are. And we boarded the military plane. First he served us a breakfast, and he put us in the plane. We couldn't understand the people.
Where did you fly to?
They flew us to Frankfurt.
Oh, you went to Frankfurt?
From Frankfurt we were on our own. They gave us our baggage and said, here you are. And we went to Frankfurt, we went to the railroad station, we had the
tickets.
Yeah.
And then from there, where did you go?
From there, we were riding to Landshut. And in Landshut, there was at that time, a settlement from the American army. They had already the announcement that we would show up. They picked us up at the station. And there we...
And there you were. And from there you met.
About 6 weeks in Landshut. We had to get visa and for the medical examination and x-ray and so on for the whole family. We got that all in Munich. And finally they brought us after 6 weeks they brought us back to Munich. With all our belongings.
Is that where you met?
Yeah. That's where we met.
That's where the circle...
And from there we were taken by a railroad to Bremerhaven. And there they put us on Alexander Patch, Patton.
Patton.
Patton. And brought us over here.
Okay, you.
Wait a minute, what was the name, the official name of my outfit?
The problem.
Okay.
Minister Jarrad Schubert. He built that underground plant in Vöcklabruck.
And this plant, what did this plant make? What did the plant manufacture?
It was supposed to manufacture metals.
But did it, actually?
No.
Never did.
No,
it was supposed to do it, but it didn't. Never did. I see. Did
and
it make
I
any...
I was at that time the liaison man in Peenemünde.
This was about what time? What year was this, roughly? What year and month? Do you remember when this
43,
started?
43, 44.
I see. But that was never realized.
From there, he picked me up and took me to Berlin.
I see. So this is what you were going to do but didn't do, and you went
we
to Berlin.
We got all the requirements from our shops in Peenemünde, what they needed on fresh air, water, light, power equipment for their manufacturing intention, what they wanted to do, and gave these down to Vöcklabruck.
Yeah. Now, what actually did they do at Vöcklabruck? Did they do anything at all, or just these were advanced plans?
They started
plans?
To build the plant up.
Was this an existing underground area, abandoned salt mine?
I've never been there.
Good. Okay. Well, the last question that I would have, did you have any special recollections of the bombardment that you just, personal, more of a personal type thing, like where you were and were you expecting the bombardment?
Yeah, we were always warned about the bombardment, and at that time on the 17th of August in the morning, we had also the order everybody should go take his family to the so-called Tante Anna.
Who was Tante Anna?
Tante Anna. That means any family members you have somewhere in Germany where they are safer than here in Peenemünde.
That morning, so you didn't expect that was just a coincidence though, wasn't it?
No, that went on already for, I would say, 2 weeks or 3 weeks that the people moved abroad and took their families away. And on the 17th in the morning, I took my wife and my daughter and brought them to the like a railroad station, so.
Cicero.
Hmm?
Cicero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And shipped them.
Just that very morning.
Yeah,
on the 17th of August, right? Sent them to Berlin, right? To her mother first. And then to my parents, because my parents, as I told you, they lived outside Berlin, and there it was a little bit safer than in Berlin Strait. And we even had packed what they needed, for instance, all the linen and clothing, what they couldn't take with them. We had made bundles, and they were in our bedroom. It was upstairs. What I was supposed to send by mail, make a package and send it by mail the next few days. Clothing and belongings, things like that. But it didn't come to that anymore. Around, was it midnight?
Yeah,
midnight. We got a warning. Alarm, the sirens were going, and I had a kind of duty over there. We had to darken and shield every light in the houses. Our houses were painted black, we saw it on the picture.
Yes.
And we even had fence alarm, window shades.
Shutter.
And there always was little light shining around, and that had all to be covered. And we had some duty in every street, where several people obligated to make the rounds, and look, there was light shining. They knocked at the door and said, cut off the light or close that gap. But completely dark, even our cars, even our bicycles, if you had a light on the bicycle, you had to shield that. Only a small little light, you would hardly see with that. And during alarm, there was no traffic at all. Everything stopped. Best thing, every light was cut out. And we had some shelters, either in the open area, built, or in the house. Our basement was built out, it was about 6 feet by 6 feet. A support in the middle, and then walls 6 by 6 feet, and the window closed, completely covered. And there was supposed to come a steel door in, but it wasn't delivered at that time. And we had there, I will say, some valuables, a little bit food, canned food, and a chair, and that's like the oil, and a spade, and an axe. That was mostly the equipment for a area chair. And I was sitting on the folding chair, and I checked during that time, and I met other people which were also on duty, and that you couldn't see anything, and all of a sudden they planted the Christmas trees around, and that was the time that you had to take shelter. And afterwards it didn't take long and the first bombs came down.
What is this planting the Christmas?
That's when the British set out the flares to light up the target.
The flares, they were
in
the
shape of
the Christmas tree. I have some fantastic pictures of it.
They had colored lights.
Colored lights.
Beautiful.
Green,
appears
green.
Pretty bright, but
you're not
the intentions aren't good. It's not the Christian spirit that they're thinking about. And so
they marked only the area where the bombers should drop their bombs, Yeah, and then I went into my shelter, and there I was sitting. I had my leather coat on. I still have that coat, my leather coat on, the hat on, and had briefcase with the main papers, birth certificate, marriage license, and all that thing.
Oh, familiar papers.
The
accordion?
No, I have them here.
Nobody's ever going to say this is a common
between
law.
My legs. I was sitting on that little folding chair.
Yeah.
You know, which opens up this way. Right? I was sitting there with the back on that column, right? Support. And the attack lasted for 77 minutes. That was all. Right? And
all.
After I got my hit in the 74th minute, that was a row of bombing five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I got the fourth
bomb. He knows even what bomb he's got.
The fourth and the fifth went in the next house, and there were five people killed.
They weren't in a shelter?
Huh?
Were they in a shelter?
They were in the shelter, but the bomb hit that shelter.
Well, what's the point of having a shelter? I mean,
well, it protects you from, you know, from bomb except direct hits.
Oh, direct hits, but doesn't
direct hit the
bomb shell is okay, but it keeps you from shrapnel.
Well, a house, if it's not directly hit, won't hurt. Well, if you're in a house, for example, and it's not directly hit,
well,
you're not going to get
hurt. Well, it'll bring the walls in.
Oh, it will?
Oh, yeah. That's
right.
If you're in a basement.
That was my case, mate. The bomb hit, I was sitting practically, I would say, in that part of the, no, on this part here, in that corner, I was sitting.
On the left?
And the bomb hit here.
Oh, I see.
And then it depends what kind of bomb it is. You have bombs which go into the ground and explode there after they have penetrated the earth about several yards. Another one detonate if they touch the ground. They raise everything.
So, yeah.